guys. I was with the Women's Sunday School this morning, and I got beautiful flowers, so thank you. You ladies were a joy. Like I said, I'm Kristen. This is Rainier. I am from South Texas. He is from South Africa, so you will hear his accent. That's why I married him. But we have a short little video that'll explain just a little bit about what we do, and then we'll talk just for a few minutes before I share the word. Hello, we are Rainier and Kristen Forster. We, along with our two children, Joshua and Malia, serve as AGW missionaries to the island of Madagascar. Madagascar is home to over 29 million people, and it is a joy and an honor to serve here in this beautiful country.
And within AGWM Africa, we have a vision to see a healthy, vibrant church within walking distance of every person in Africa. And it's no difference for us here in Madagascar. But to do that, we need pastors that are equipped to be able to go out and plant churches in the areas where there is no church. I have the privilege to serve here with our National Bible School, where we equip the students for church planting and reaching their island for Jesus. And once these students are trained and churches are planted, we, through Africa Tabernacle Evangelism, come alongside these pastors to help these new churches in constructing a lasting building to impact their communities.
Hi, I am Andy. I am from Madagascar, and I recently graduated from the Bible School, where I have learned from both Missionary Lee and Kristen, and I can tell you that they are wonderful teachers. The Bible School has prepared me to enter into ministry. And as I step out into pastoring, I will be serving in a building that was constructed by Africa Tabernacle Evangelism. I am so thankful for what the Lord is doing in Madagascar through the ministry of Missionary Relief and Kristen. They are a blessing for Malagasy churches. They are faithful servants of God. May God bless you all. Much love from Madagascar.
My passion is children's ministry. I love training Malagasys to reach the younger generation in their own nation. I believe that as children know that they are loved, valued, and created by God, this can change the trajectory of their life. You know, I once heard a quote that said to let your fruit grow on someone else's tree. And by training Malagasys, we will see fruit all over the island in places that we will never go.
And you too can be part in seeing this fruit. Would you partner with us in the work here in Madagascar? Together, we can see a healthy, vibrant church within walking distance of each person in Madagascar.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We are so excited to be here with you. We are excited about what God has called us to do. Like I said, we've got Joshua and Malia there. They are here with us. But like the video said, I have a passion for kids ministry. I love working with children, but even more, I love training the Malagasys to go out and do more than I ever could. And so before we left, we had our first all-island Madagascar training. We had over 200 people come and get trained for kids ministry, which is amazing. And we're so excited to see the lives that are going to be changed, this younger generation that is going to come up, and they're going to say, you know what, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And so I'm very excited about that.
And as we shared in the video, my passion is training, training up Malagasys to reach their own people. And a little bit out of Madagascar, a lot of times when we say Madagascar, a lot of people do not know where it is. Or so it's the big island just east of Africa, and it is big. It's almost the size of Texas. It's about 80% the size of Texas. 29 million people call it their home. So it is a lot of area, and of the 40 people groups, 10 of those people groups are still considered completely unreached. So it's a lot of areas where there is no church, a lot of areas where people do not have access to the gospel. So our art is to train up Malagasys through our Bible school that they can go out and plant churches there where there is no church. That they can go out and reach their own people and share the gospel and plant the church, as we shared in a video, to fulfill our vision to see a vibrant church within walking distance of each person in Madagascar. So we just, this last May, we graduated 33 graduates at our Bible school that is busy now with their practical. They do 1 year practical before the national church then sends them out to plant churches in the areas that's needed. So we're excited to see what God will do through them. We're excited to see how God will plant the church in those areas. But then another way how we partner with them is, you probably saw in the video, it is through construction. Because once these churches is established and these churches are planted, many of them do not have a church building. So we partner then with them by providing them with a basic metal structure and a metal roof that they can close in themselves and then have church in that. In the past, we used to bring them in and ship them in, but it's very, it costs a lot more money. You have to struggle normally through the customs and all of that, which is a big headache. So we then, earlier this year in February, we bought a factory where we can manufacture these prefabricated churches that we can take to these unreached areas or these areas that's needed and put up these churches. And the great thing is, it's made in such a way, you just need some DeWalt drills and you can put it up within a day. I've seen them go up in 3 hours. Now then you need to know what you're doing. We're not there yet. It takes us within a day about 8 hours or so. But it is a very neat system to partner with the local church in helping them reach their area for Jesus. So thank you so much, Pastor, that we could share a little bit of art, what God has called us for in Madagascar.
Amen. And what's really neat about that is that we can actually have people that say, you know what, we want to buy a tab. We want to buy a church building. And so for $8,500, I think it is, they can pay for a tab, and then you can actually come and put up the tabernacle that you bought. And so it's just a beautiful partnership between America. But thank you, guys. Like, as you were reading those numbers, Rainier and I were like, whoa. You guys are a missions-giving church, a missions-loving church. Thank you. Thank you so much. And so this morning, I'm going to share the word with you today. Sorry for those that already heard me in the Women's Sunday School class. You got to hear me again, okay? Now, I still think of myself as young, okay? So I am in my 30s. They were trying to guess. I am 37, all right? Now, my husband, on the other hand, he has hit the 40 mark, okay? And so I hear everything goes downhill at 40. I don't know. I'm not there yet. But I want to talk to you this morning as someone from the younger generation. And I hope that this is encouraging to you, and I hope you leave, you know, like, oh, yeah, that was good. But I also hope it ignites something inside of you. I hope that you do not just leave saying, oh, you know, those were nice missionaries, but oh, okay, now what am I going to do next? And I will say this time and time and time again, as from the younger generation, we need you. We need you. We need our senior saints praying for us. You know, we need our faithful givers. You know, some of our most faithful givers to the work in Madagascar are the older generation. We need the wisdom and the testimonies of those of you who have gone before us, who have walked through the fire and seen God's faithfulness. We need you. Your work is not done yet. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. You might retire from your earthly job, but there is still a task to be done. And so if you have your Bibles today, I want to look in 1 Chronicles. I'll give you the time to find it. 1 Chronicles, starting in chapter 17. 1 Chronicles, chapter 17. And I think that this is such a beautiful representation of generational partnership. So 1 Chronicles 17, I'm going to start with verse 1. After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you." But that night, the word of God came to Nathan and said, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of these leaders whom I commanded to shepherd my people, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' So David, he has these great plans, right? Like his heart is in the right place. He wants the ark to be well taken care of. He wants to be the one to step up and say, you know what, I will build a house for the ark. And at first, Nathan says, oh, yes, great, because that sounds like a good idea, right? But then the Lord spoke to Nathan and was like, hold on, he's not the one. But what's really neat is if you fast forward, same chapter, 1 Chronicles 17, but fast forward to 11 through 14, because God had continued just to speak to David through Nathan for that. But when your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish as the kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. So God tells David through Nathan, you are not the one to build this for me, but your son, that's his calling. He's the one to build the house for me. The house that you have in your heart to build is not your calling, but it's Solomon's. It's your son. Now, I've got two precious little ones over there, and I think if the Lord told me, hey, you're not called to do this, but they are, I think I would be more excited that God was calling them than me, right? Because we want more for the next generation. We want more for our children. And so I have specific prayers for both of my kids, but for Malia, I pray specifically that she will have an Elisha anointing, right? A double portion. And so David, he responds with thanksgiving and joy. He's happy about this. You can read all about it in the rest of the chapter, but now here's the thing. David now has a choice. He could have said, you know what? I'm not the one to build the ark, of the house for the ark. I have done everything the Lord has called me to do. My God has given the calling for my son. I am retired. I've earned it. God's blessed me. My family will be taken care of. I'm done. But that's not what he did. And I want to fast forward to 1 Chronicles 21, okay? Now, as I was preparing this message, I realized something so interesting, so allow me just to go on a little bit of a sidetrack here. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 18, we see that the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. Now, there had been a plague due to disobedience, and so David was to go offer the sacrifice so that way the plague would be stopped. And so David goes to Arunah, I'm probably butchering that name, and he wants to buy the land for full price. And so no, Arunah says, no, take it. I'll even give you all the things for the offering. But David says something that's always stuck to me. He says, no, I insist on paying full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that cost me nothing. I don't preach. I just gave you your message for next week. You're welcome, all right? But back to our story. So David pays, he offers the sacrifices to the Lord, and at the end of this, he says, the house of the Lord God is to be here, and also the altar of burnt offering. God had led David to where his house would be. Now this is where we get back to the point of the message, because in 2 Chronicles 22, verse 2 through 5, David begins to do something about it. He realizes, yes, it's his son's calling, but his work was not done. So David gave orders to assemble the foreigners residing in Israel. This is 2 Chronicles 22. And from among them, he appointed stone cutters to prepare dressed stone for building the house of God. He provided a large amount of iron to make nails for the doors of the gateway and for the fittings, and more bronze that could be weighed. He also provided more cedar logs than be counted, for the Sidonians and Tyrians had brought large numbers of them to David. David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced. Can you say that? Young and inexperienced. Pastor, we got to work on this. Let's try this again. Young and inexperienced. Thank you, Joshua. All right. And the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it. So David made extensive preparations before his death. Now, God had called David's son to build the temple. But rather than just letting him do it himself, David says, you know what? I have experience. I have resources. I am going to let Solomon walk in his calling, but before he does, I'm going to help prepare the way. And I'm just not just going to sit here on the sidelines and wait for my son to do it while the next generation does the work. I'm going to put my energy, I'm going to put my talents, I'm going to put my wisdom, my finances, my resources. I am going to prepare the way for them. Why? Because his son needed him. Can I tell you this something this morning? We need you. We need you. And you might look at our generation and this younger generation and say, oh, what do I have to offer? They won't listen to me. But can I tell you, there is a generation of young people that are in need of a parent figure, that are in need of a grandparent figure. There's a generation of people who want to follow the will of God. They have been called to do greater things, but guess what? We are young and inexperienced. You're not done yet. We need you. But what does that look like? Well, first of all, we need your prayers. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for the younger generation. Pray for missionaries. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, according to Matthew 9:38, that more workers will be sent out to the field. Pray for your pastors, your church leaders, the government, because you have a gift. Because you have seen God's faithfulness time and time again. That means that your faith is increased. And so when you walk into the throne room of God, you have a confidence that the Lord is faithful and he will do it because you have seen it. We need your prayers. We also, number two, we need your wisdom. You know, as young people, we don't have all the answers. We like to pretend like we do. I apologize for that. But honestly, we would profit so much from just sitting down with you and hearing your stories, hearing your testimonies, hearing how God provided, how God healed, how God set free, how God directed. We need your wisdom in our marriages, in raising our children, in ministry, and how to live this life for Jesus. We are young and inexperienced. We need your wisdom. Joel chapter 1, verse 3 says, tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. Now, if you read that full chapter, it's not a very happy one, but the value of passing on wisdom from one generation to another is biblical. We need your prayers. We need your wisdom. We also need your finances. This is Mission Sunday after all, right? This past week, you know, I went on your church website and I was seeing the amount of missionaries that you supported. I know several people on that list and they're doing good work. And guess what? You're part of that. Isn't that cool? That you get to be a part of that from here in McKinney, Texas, of what God's doing around the world. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity. But can I encourage you this morning? Keep going. Keep giving. You know, some of you, God is going to give you a number on your faith pledge form today. And that number is not going to make sense. You're going to wonder, how is this going to happen? What am I going to do? But can I tell you that God's faithful? 1 Chronicles 29:14. David says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We can give generously because it wasn't ours to begin with. He's the one that gave it to us. So give your tithes, give to missions, give overly and abundantly above. Why? Because God's provided it. Micah 3:10, and we all know this one, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. You cannot outgive God. We need your prayers. We need your wisdom. We need your finances. You know, I talked about earlier how I pray for my daughter Malia to have an Elisha anointing, a double portion of anointing from what Rainier and I have. And if you don't know the story, Elisha has been following this man named Elijah around. And Elijah was about to go back up into heaven. And Elisha has learned from him. He's grown spiritually under Elijah. But before Elijah is taken up into heaven, Elisha says this, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. We have a younger generation who needs to see your anointing. We have a younger generation who needs to learn from you and see how God can use you. Not with the goal of staying the same or doing things the same way, but with that discipleship comes a desire for more of God's presence and more of God's anointing. And so Elisha, he received that double portion. He did more than Elijah ever did. But it was because of Elijah that he knew the power of God, right? It was because of Elijah that he experienced so much of that anointing that he wanted a double portion of it. We need you. And you have a choice today. You can sit on the sidelines saying, you know what, the next generation wants to do things their way. I've already done my part. I'm done. I'm good. That's their calling. Or you can stay in the game. Some of you might need to get back in the game and say, you know what, I'm going to do this. That next generation, they need me. Walk in your anointing. Find someone to mentor. And sure, the next generation might do it a little bit differently than you, but God's anointing and his calling and his purposes are the same. The methods might change, but God has not. We need you. Show us the way. Share your story to us about how God brought you through the wilderness. Pray for us to go further and to do more, not for our own glory, but for God's. Use your resources, your wisdom, your guidance, everything that God has done up into your life to disciple us and allow us to walk in our calling. And just like Solomon saw the ark living in that house, in that temple, we will see the presence of God living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to close with something that Caleb says in Joshua 14, and I'm going to ask Pastor Lynn to come up as I read this. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised that day. As you walk in your calling, my prayer for you and for all of us is that we can stand and say, you know what, I'm just as strong today as the day that the Lord called me. I'm just as vigorous to go out into battle and do what God has called me to do as I was then. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. And know that I am praying for you guys. And I am trusting that there is going to be just a generational, beautiful partnership seeing people come to know Jesus. Can I pray just for a moment? Lord, we love you so much. God, we thank you, God, that we can stand and we can say, you know what, I'm just as strong now as I was then. The calling that you have on my life, Lord, now is just as strong as the calling I had on my life whenever I was younger. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, that together we can work together to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we trust you and we thank you, God, and we thank you for this church. We thank you for their faithfulness. God, and we pray, God, that this is just the beginning of something beautiful and something strong, Lord, as they continue to work for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.